If angels could be jealous of men, they would be so for one reason: Holy Communion. This is a quote from St. Maximilian Kolbe. And I would like to today, in my part one homily, to talk about what happens when we receive this which the angels are jealous of us for, being able to receive Holy Communion, the Eucharist. What is it that happens that makes angels jealous of us? And there's three primary things. And the first and most important occurrence is that when we receive Holy Communion, we become united to Christ, first and foremost. And this is true both on a spiritual level, but also a physical, biological level. Biologically, when we eat something, it becomes part of us. If we eat a banana, that banana becomes part of us. And so when we consume Christ in the Eucharist, he truly, not only spiritually, but physically, becomes one with us. We become united to Christ. This means, just as any other food we eat, we become more Christ-like the more that we receive him. To emphasize this, St. John Vianney says, upon receiving Holy Communion, the adorable blood of Jesus Christ really flows in our veins, and his flesh is blended with ours. St. John Vianney speaking to how closely knit we become with Christ when we receive the Eucharist. Further, just as food helps us grow the muscles of our body, so the Eucharist helps grow the muscle of our love. That as we receive the Eucharist, we become able to love more intensely, to love more than we could before. And the desire to love will increase within us as well. That's the first thing that happens. The second occurrence is that our venial sins are forgiven, and we receive strength to fight against future sin. Which makes sense, because we cannot be united to Christ, who is sinless, without having at the same time our sins forgiven and removed. For where Christ is, sin is nowhere to be found. Again, sin being the opposite of love, by receiving the Eucharist, we grow more free and strong to fight against future temptation. St. John Bosco emphasizes this when he says, we do not go to Holy Communion because we are good. We go to become good. Emphasizing that the Eucharist is spiritual food for us, which gives us strength to fight against temptation. The third occurrence is that we become, all of us here, united to one another, coming from the very word communion, with union. That all of us here in just a few moments will become truly united to each other. And we become not only united to all of us here at St. Joseph Church, but every Catholic in the world who is receiving communion on this very Sunday. We also become united to those in heaven. Oftentimes people will say to me that they experience a closeness with a loved one who has died while at Mass. And that makes sense, because through communion we become united to them, even those who have gone before us. This fulfills what Christ wishes in the scriptures, where he tells his Father that his wish is that we all may be one. And it is the Eucharist that makes that wish come true. And so, to bring it all back together, each and every time we receive the Eucharist, these three events happen. We become united with Christ, we have a separation and forgiveness of sins, and we experience a union with one another. This becomes obvious why angels could be jealous of us then. And to close with one more quote from St. John Vianney, when we receive Holy Communion, we experience something extraordinary, a joy, a fragrance, a well-being that thrills the whole body and causes it to exult. And so may we never take for granted our great gift it is to come forward and receive communion, the very thing in which angels are jealous of. That was part one. On to part two. There's a key detail in our gospel today, which I think is easily missed, but when noticed, it really reinforces the meaning of this interaction between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And this detail is found right at the start, as we hear, Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. And we learn two things in this sentence. And the first is that even Jesus got tired from the journey. And I find this to be such a relief because is not this pilgrimage, this journey of life, really tiring? And it's a relief to see that even Jesus himself had moments of becoming tired on this journey of life. And from this tiredness, though, comes the second lesson, that when tired in life, we, like Jesus and the Samaritan woman, seek out a well to renew and refresh ourselves. For it is the well which represents that which we go to when we need rest and renewal from the journey of life. We see in this interaction between Jesus and the Samaritan woman a most important question which springs forth. Namely, when tired on this journey, what is the well that we go to? For Jesus presents us in the gospel with two wells. The well of the world, which is the well of Jacob that the Samaritan woman goes to, and the well of himself. And like the Samaritan woman, we know the well of the world very much. It can be many things for us. Just think of what we often go to when we find ourselves tired. Social media, vegging out to TV and movies, going to the internet and all that goes with it, indulging in food and drink. Wells which, yes, curb our thirst for a while, but only for a time, and never quite satisfy us or give us true rest. Often these wells actually just distract us from our tiredness, but don't actually give us rest and renewal. Compare this to the well that Christ invites us to, himself, the well of living water, from which we never thirst again. Christ is the true well which gives us rest and renewal when we have become tired in this journey of life. In this third Sunday of Lent, this is the question which is being posed to us. When we find ourselves tired, spiritually, emotionally, physically, which well do we go to first? A worldly well or the well of Christ? Now, a challenge for the week is to consider how can we increase our visits to Christ, the true well, which gives us rest and renewal and rejuvenates us to go back into this journey of life. This is why we give up many things during Lent. We give up these other wells so we can learn that it is Christ, the true well, who truly satisfies us. Now, practically speaking, perhaps this means taking a look at our prayer life, making Scripture a part of our daily prayer, participating in devotions such as Stations of the Cross on Thursday nights during Lent, joining us for XLT tonight at 6, or simply coming to the church to pray during the day when we have the time. As we see with the Samaritan woman, drinking from the well of Christ leaves a lasting impact. I read the shorter version this morning, but we hear in the longer version that this woman leaves behind her water jar and runs back to the town of Samaria. That encountering Christ caused her to forget and have no interest in the well that she had journeyed far for. She runs back to the town renewed and excited without having a drop from that worldly well because she wants to share the well of living water that she has encountered with others. When we, like her, drink deeply from Christ, we too leave behind the lesser wells in our life, the ones we used to go to, and instead drink from him who gives us rejuvenation and new life so we can continue this journey of life. For we have drunk deeply of him who quenches our thirst. Jesus answered and said to her, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life.